Ask him, where is his mother? Why the mother didn't come? So he asked him, where is the mother? He says, my mother have passed away. So she's not here anymore. So of course I am the son. Someone has to protect her. So now he turns to that man. Did you accuse now? The mother is dead. Did you accuse her, his mother? Abu Hanifa says, wait a minute. You're in a big hurry today. Ask him that, does he have any witnesses that his mother is dead? What if he's just making it up? Okay, bring me two witnesses that your mother have died. He went, brought two witnesses. The witnesses have witnessed that his mother have died, okay? Now, did you say this about his mother? Wait a minute. Tell him, ask him that if his mother is, of course, not there, then he should be the wakil. But does he have other brothers? Because if he has other brothers, today he is coming with the case. Tomorrow the next brother will come, and third day the third brother will come, and each of them is getting her punished in the same manner. How can you afford to do something like this? Tell him if he has brothers, anyone else who is the of the same level with the relationship with the mother, then all of them should come. Or he should have wakala from all of them that I represent, all of them. So tomorrow the second person won't be able to raise the same question against her, against this man. Do you have brothers and sisters? No. Bring shahad. Now he learned. So okay, go and bring me witnesses that you don't have brothers and sisters. He went and he brings the witnesses. Now Qadi ibn Abi Layla turns to this man and asked him, did you say this about his mother? He says, wait a minute. First thing, let's finish with this man. Ask him, is his mother, when his mother was there, was she a slave woman or she was a free man? Free woman. Which means a slave or free, because there were a lot of slaves in those days. So slave of a free person, that will make the difference also. Was your mother slave or a free woman? She was a free woman. Okay, bring witnesses on that. When he brought the witnesses on that also, then Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah said to him, now ask this person what you need to ask. So going through all the stages where you don't go against any of the rulings of the Sharia, you are fulfilling all the rulings and keeping all of those things in mind. It's an understanding of the Sharia. It's the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with. And this is why Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah used to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have blessed Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah with the understanding that if people will not go through him to understand those points, they will never be able to get to those type of deep understanding of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are so many incidents narrated in the books of history, so many that still I have to mention, but the time does not allow. Really, there are hundreds of them, and such deep understanding, so many interesting ones, amazing situations that raised during that time, and beautiful answers that were given by Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, like Imam Amish rahimahullah, once he divorced his wife, saying to her, there was some disagreement, and he says to his wife, if you don't talk to me up to Fajr, you're divorced. Imam Amish is the teacher of Imam Abu Hanifa. He says to his wife, if you don't talk to me after Fajr, you're divorced. Now, the wife is also upset that night. She's not thinking right either. He didn't think right, she's not thinking right, and she doesn't want to talk to him anymore. She have decided that she will not talk up to Fajr. She didn't say anything. Now, in the first situation, she said something, he got that person out of it. But she didn't say anything. Imam Amish went to him. Please find a way for me. He said, what can I do now? Did she say anything back to you? No. I don't find a way for you. Okay, don't worry. You just go home. Imam Amish knows Imam Abu Hanifa. So he goes home. And all of a sudden, when they heard the azan of Fajr, Imam Amish got so upset that, look, he didn't find no solution for me and he got me in this situation. My wife is divorced. And next thing they hear is, Imam Abu Hanifa is knocking at the door. And the argument is going in the house. She's saying, Alhamdulillah, now I am out of your situation, out of this home, I'm not going to be with you anymore. And she is going on and on. Imam Abu Hanifa says, I'm sorry. You still belong to this house. Because it's not time for Fajr yet, it was called, the Adhan was called before the time. So it's not time for Fajr yet. He asked the person to call the Adhan before the time of Fajr would stand. So she would think it's already the time of Fajr and she would tell him, I'm going. And therefore, she have talked to him before Fajr. Understanding of it. Finding the solutions. Finding the rulings. And just like one of the great people of that time who was a very wealthy person and known also for his salah and taqwa, his son died, young boy died. When the janazah was passing by the house, the mother got out of control. She does not have her hijab on and she comes out of the house. Quickly, someone gave her a sheet, but the husband is so upset. Number one is he lost his son, but on the other hand here, he sees his wife coming out of the house in that situation. A virtuous man cannot take that situation. Cannot accept something like this. Of course, quickly, people gave her a sheet and she covered herself. Mother, she lost her senses. She's out of her mind. Her young boy and son have died. And he says to her, you have to go back home. He shouts at her to go back home. She says, no, I won't. And if I go back home without janazah, then everything that I have is sadaqah, is all free. This was a normal thing that they used to say in those days. Everything is sadaqah, everything is free. And it was a normal habit, man, during those days. If you don't do this, then you are divorced. Now, she said this and he's upset. So he said, if you don't go back home and you continue with us anymore, then you are divorced. SubhanAllah. It's a janazah on that hand. Now on the other hand, you have another difficult situation. She says, if I don't do the janazah and go home, then everything is free. If you continue coming with us with the janazah, you're divorced. What to do? Sufyan al-Thawri was there. He said, quickly call Imam Abu Hanifa. They asked him, this is the situation. He said, wait, don't worry about it. Put the janazah down. He said to her that if you don't go back and you continue with us, then you are divorced. And she said, if I don't do the janazah, then everything is free. Okay, let's do the janazah over here. So she won't continue anymore. So whatever he said is still is there. And she is not going to go home without the janazah. Let her do it over here. So both the situation are still in effect. And no one will lose anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I said, there are hundreds of these situations that we find in the books of Seerah. And amazingly, that most of these are narrated by scholars. When I was reading it really myself, when I started studying this in depth, I thought that many of these, maybe just situations, people are making it up. But that would be the situation and it would be acceptable to say that if these things were narrated by those who were the students of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. But amazingly, that most of these, and in fact, everything that I narrated today, they are only called it, and I narrated them only from the books written by the followers of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. All of these incidents that I narrated, they are all from the books of people that were Shafi'i, like Imam Suyuti rahimahullah. He wrote a book about Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. Al-Muwaffaq rahimahullah wrote a book about Imam Hanifa rahimahullah. Ibn Hajar al-Haythami wrote a book about Imam Hanifa rahimahullah. And these incidents that I narrated, they are all from these books. There are many other fuqaha of the Shafi'iyya who wrote books about the life of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, and they have quoted these incidents in their books. With all of this, it seems that this man was only in this field. All he knew was fiqh and hadith and whatever else, but this is all he knows about. But amazingly, when you look at the other part of his life, you will see a life full of ibadah. SubhanAllah, people who are in the field, they know how difficult it is for us to keep both of these together. A person who is busy documenting the fiqh, and he is the first person who started it, and he is the amir, he is the leader for that, and he is the teacher. How busy he would be. But This is a man about whom it was known that never takes him more than 3 days to finish one Quran. He recites 10 juz every day of his life. During the month of Ramadan, every day 2 Quran. 60 Quran during the month of Ramadan this man would recite. There are only 4 people who are known to have finished Quran al-Kareem, the complete Quran, in one rak'ah inside the Kaaba. 2 of the Sahaba, 2 of the Tabi'een. Of the Sahaba, Uthman bin Affan and Tamim al-Dari radiyallahu anhu. Of the Tabi'een, Sa'id bin Jubair and Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. Only 4 people are known to have finished the whole Quran in one rak'ah inside the Kaaba. You would think, where is he getting all of this time from? There was one of the great muhaddiseen, well known, a person who studies the hadith, knows this name, Mus'ar ibn Kidam, rahimahullah. He was the teacher of Imam Bukhari's teacher, and the student of Imam Abu Hanifa. He was one of the 40, in the committee of the 40 people, who used to discuss the rulings before they would document them. Mus'ar ibn Kidam, rahimahullah. Well-known muhaddis. He says, when I started going to Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, I saw him that after Salat al-Fajr, after the sun rises, he sits with the students. And he sits there up to the time of Salat al-Dhuhr. Then after Salat al-Dhuhr, he sits with the students up to Asr. From Asr to Maghrib, Maghrib to Isha. I said to myself, this man is too busy with just teaching. He has no time for ibadah. When does he perform any ibadah? And I have heard that this person performs a lot of ibadah. He recites so much Quran, he does so much of this. I don't see none of that. This is what Mus'ar ibn Kidam says. He says that I decided that I'm going to watch this man during the night. Also, he must be needing a lot of rest. Must be very tired after all of this work. From Fajr till Isha. He's busy with his students. So, he must be having a good rest at night time. So when does he perform the ibadah? He says, it was the first day for me over there, so I stayed in the masjid. When all the people left the masjid, I saw Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, and I was in the corner of the masjid. He didn't see me. He came into the masjid. But now when he came, he had some nice dress on him, with a lot of fragrance, beautiful perfume that he has on him. And then he finds out to tell us that this was a secret about Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, something that he also used to encourage others to do, that he used to say, for tahajjud, for standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in night time, you should have some very nice dress, better than what you wear in front of people. He says he came into the masjid, and he started reciting Quran in the salah. I said to myself, let me watch for how long he's going to recite. He continued reciting. And he recited 5 juz. I said, now he may be finishing it now. He finishes 10 juz. I said, now. He went into the ruku' after 15 juz. And he continued reciting Salat al-Tahajjud until it was the time for Adhan al-Fajr. Before the Muadhin would come for Adhan al-Fajr, he went home. Changed his clothes, came back for Salat al-Fajr, just like any other normal person. No one knew that this man spent the night in the masjid. I said to myself, this is temporary. Of course, he's doing it today. He can't afford to do this every day. Next day, he's going to be having a good rest tomorrow. He'll be sleeping the whole day. Next day, he's as fresh in the class as he was the day before.